So it is amazing what God is doing in the Netherlands. And as what Bernard said, it's so important always to realize it was Jesus that is building his church. And today I'm going to share a word with you about gratitude. Actually, the message of the title of my message is The Power of Gratitude. And I actually want to ask you a question first. And you don't have to ask it out, to answer it out loud, but you can just answer it for yourself. But my question is, are you really happy? Are you really, really happy? So that means that you are truly overflowing with happiness and joy every day. And that's actually where I want to focus on, that I really believe that we are people that are overflowing with happiness. But how can we stay happy? How can we get the joy of the Lord every day in our lives? And I asked myself that question as well. And to be honest, I realized that I was not always happy. Maybe you guys are always happy, but when I was honest, I was not always overflowing. I was thinking, I know that I'm a child of God. I know that my sins are forgiven. I'm baptized. I'm running for Jesus. But sometimes I have these feelings like I'm not overflowing. Sometimes that restlessness that I want to have more people, more money, more time. We always want more. Actually, that's what I look in my heart. And sometimes you can have that feeling that you miss something in your life, that you really feel, I miss something to be really joyful. And I think we all have these moments in our life, if we are honest. And maybe it's you as well. Maybe you feel, I'm really happy when I have a partner. And maybe you think, I'm really happy when I have children. Or maybe I'm really happy when I get rid of my debts. Or maybe I'm really happy when I have that bigger house. Or when maybe I'm happy when I'm healed because I'm so wounded inside. Or maybe you think I'm happy when I'm an elder or a deacon in the church. Or maybe you are tired and you think maybe I'm happy when I'm on a holiday and I'm rested. Or maybe you think I'm happy when I lost 10 kgs of weight. Some people are laughing. I'm going to pray for you now. Or maybe you think I'm happy when I don't have to work anymore. So there are so many things that we sometimes have in mind that we believe that we need to be happy. And I think it's the biggest trick of the enemy to let us believe in something else that makes us happy except of Jesus. And this culture is actually built on that. All the things we see, it's all about more and more and more. And everything is breeding. If we have that, it's always something in the future that the media shows you. When you have that new phone or what else it is, then you are happy. So this culture lets you believe that something else can make you happy except of Jesus. But maybe you are in this room and you think, Peter, you don't know my story. You don't know how I'm feeling. You don't know how it is to live with three children in a very small house. Or you don't know how it is to feel so broken as I am. Or maybe you say, Peter, you don't know because you don't know how high my debts are. And that's true. I don't know. But what I do know is that possessions are not going to make us happen. What I do know is that not that I am married, that I know that married is not the end of the world. And some people have children and they complain, and some children have no children and they complain. So do you hear me? How is it possible that 25 percent of your population is struggling with mental health issues. And I can tell you, in the Netherlands, it's the double. 50% of the Dutch people are struggling with mental health problems. How is that possible? Because maybe you think in the Netherlands we can have everything what we want. How is it possible that even people that know Jesus are struggling too? How is it possible that sometimes I'm one of them? And how can we get rid of it? And I know I've told you the answer is Jesus, but I think the key is gratitude. The key to get rid of it is gratitude. And I know there are many keys, like deliverance, living in the light, but gratitude, being really gracious and thankful, it's an enormous key. And that's what I want to talk about today. And gratitude is what we lost in this culture. It's all about more and never enough. We work more, so we own more, so we have bigger houses, we have more holidays, more luxury, but we have all less time. We spend more time on our cell phone than with Jesus. So it's the problem of the culture that we are chasing after our tails. We are chasing after everything we can't grab. Can we put up the first slide? And this is a profound statement. And it said, our happiness often depends on what we don't have rather than that what we do have. And because we are often focused on what we don't have, we are not happy. Do we recognize this? And it's not about possessions. It's also about feelings. We complain about how we feel. It's warm, tired, my husband, my wife, my children, my headache. We are all focused on what we lack instead of what we have. And this causes effect on our environment. This causes people that complaining and are negative, they are draining others. Have you noticed that when you have fellowship with somebody that is complaining and negative, and at the end of the day you go home and you feel not happy? So you are affecting others. So the next slide. Ingratitude is the cause, beginning and origin of all evil and sin. Underneath all sin and broken hearts lies an attitude of ingratitude towards God. Can we get this? Think about Adam and Eve. They were in the perfect position. They had everything they had. Warm weather, because they didn't need clothes. They had fruits, they didn't have to work, they had intimacy with each other, intimacy with God. So you can say everything was perfect. And then the lie comes in. So it was the lie that they could get something, it was even against what God said. So the lie said, if you eat from that tree, you will be like God. So even if you have everything and have a perfect life with a perfect wife and perfect intimacy with God and with your wife, it's still the human nature that wants to have more and more and more. So ingratitude is the cause, beginning and origin of all evil and sin. Underneath all sin and broken hearts lies an attitude of ingratitude towards God. So what is happening? What is happening is that we don't see life anymore as a gift, but as a right. Everything what God gave us through the creation, it was a gift to us. And I think it often went wrong when we see the things that He gave us sees as a right. It's my life. It's my money, it's my salary, and we see it as mine, as long and as we see it like that, we, when we don't get it, we see it as, ah, where is my money? Where is my salary? But the Bible teaches us clearly in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So everything is from the Lord. So your wife, your children, your house, even the oxygen you breathe, it's the Lord's. So that makes a complete different focus. So if we think about that, and that's written, this Psalm 24 verse 1, it's written in the Old Covenant. It's even before Jesus gave us grace by his Son. Everything we received, it's from the Lord. It's like a gift. And the whole life is a gift. So actually our response should be that we will overflowing with thankfulness. That would be our normal life, overflowing with thankfulness. And Paul is writing that to the Colossians. He's actually, this is your calling. You have to be overflowing with gratitude. He's writing in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So a way to measure your spiritual maturity is actually not to measure it, but if you want to measure it, you can check it by, is your life overflowing with thankfulness? Is your life overflowing with gratitude? That's a way to measure spiritual maturity. It's not by knowledge. It's not if you can speak in tongues or prophesy, but it is, are you having a life overflowing with gratitude and joy? That's, the slides are good working. Thank you. So life is a gift. Everything you received is a gift of God. As well the material as the people. Life is a gift. So every morning you wake up, thank you, Lord. Thank you for breakfast. Thank you for oxygen. Thank you for a roof above my head. Thank you for a job. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if we look to God, we see a God that is a giver. God is a God that is love and he is giving. At John 3:16, he gave his only and one son to us. He gave us grace. He gave us his life. Jesus died for us and gave his life. The Father and the Son gave the Holy Spirit. So he gave forgiveness. So giving and forgiveness is the heart of God. So our response should be thankfulness. A response on a giver is always, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blood, because he gave his blood. A life of gratitude is a normal response of a Christian. It's not a right we have, it's a gift we received. How often do we pray for when we are sick? Often. But how often do we thank when we are healthy? We often start praying when we have a need, but not thanking for what he's giving. And that changes our perspective. That changes our minds. And we have to realize that everything what we have is a gift of God. The root of the sins we do is ingratitude. And it's a weak spot in our culture. It's a weak spot in our lives and in my life. And it's a lie we're going to believe in. If I have that, then I am happy. And I think that was one of the things. Even Yaditya. Where is Yaditya? She's gone. Yaditya went with a group of Dutchies to Zambia. And two of my children were there as well for an outreach. And what they came home with was they were blown away that the people were so happy while they had nothing. They couldn't understand that. Like, Daddy, they were so happy, and you give them a candy, and they were so happy. And we give our children a cell phone, and they complain it's not the right model. Is it? Do we recognize that? I want the iPhone. A Samsung is not good enough. And that's true. No, no. No. Meanwhile, we are so often so unthankful. But listen to what the Word of God said. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. You know, this is like the culture lens of the Bible. Always. Rejoice always. That's not my preach, it's the Bible. But what do we do? What do we do? We complain. We always, no, not always, but often we complain. And somebody that is helping me, because I'm always these strong words. You never do this. Or so they say, Peter, you have to change your language a little bit. Don't say words as always and never, because it's so big. And in church, you have to be careful because you are communicating too strong. So I'm working on it. But when I read my Bible, I see that the Lord uses these strong words. He is saying in Philippians 2, 14, 15, do everything. I may not use that word because it's big. Do everything, says the Lord, without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. So you think, okay, Peter, am I not allowed to complain then? No. Yeah, you can do it for me. But the Lord says, no, do everything without grumbling and arguing. Give thanks in all circumstances. And I can tell you, complaining doesn't help you. The only thing what complaining does do, it affects your life and the life of others. It's like poison. Complaining, the reason that Jesus and Paul is so firm on it, that he says everything and always is poison. It's poisoning your life and it's poisoning the life of others. James is talking about it as well, and he's talking about what's coming from our mouth. James 3, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a word, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. So it's the life of others and your own life. Proverbs says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. In other words, you will carry the consequences of your complaining and the things that leaves your mouth. What we say has an effect on others and on ourselves. So again, you think, am I then not allowed to complain? Because sometimes I'm in a very difficult situation. I have reasons to complain. And I can tell you, you are allowed. But not to man, but to God. It's very clear, you are not allowed to complain to one another, but you have to come to God. And I think one of the reasons we are not allowed to complain to one another, because we affect each other, but if we complain to one another, it affects us badly, and we don't go to God. While God is always there. He knows our circumstances, and He can change it. I can't change your circumstances. I can pray for you, but I can't change. And so we often go to one another instead of we go to God. Did you know that 2/3 of the Psalms are in a form of complaining. So most of them, so David was almost complaining the whole time to God. And I think it's good because our feelings are not, it's not bad to have feelings because we are designed with feelings. So, and the Lord knows your feelings. So it's not weird to explain them because he have designed you with that feelings and he knows how you feel. So when we look to the Psalms, we see anger, revenge, strife, jealousy, envy, bloodlust, wounding, sorrow, doubt, hostility towards God. It's all good to go to God to it, but not to one another. These feelings are real, and these feelings are in us. And it's not bad, and it's actually very good to go to God. He gave us these feelings, and he knows what we felt. He know how wounded we are. He know what people hurt you. So, and he wants that we come to him. Jesus say, come to me, all who are broken. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Jesus is understanding your situation. And often, in the valleys, we find him. Often in the difficult circumstances, listen to testimonies. Always in the deep, deep valley, people cry out to Jesus and they have an encounter with the Holy Spirit or with Jesus. So all these circumstances, if we are going to one another with it, it won't help. And if we go to God, he lifts us up. And he touches us by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is give us new focus, that is pointing to Jesus and give us new hope. So start with thanking the Lord for the small things. If you don't know what to pray, just start to thank him for everything what he's giving. Another slide. Yes, the meaning of our lives does not come from who we are, what we do, or what we possess, but comes from God and how he loves us. And the more time we take to think about that, the more grateful we become. This is just how it works. A university in the Netherlands did an experiment, a real experiment. And they did a thankfulness training. And they challenged people for 6 weeks, for 15 minutes a day, say thank you for things you have. And it's unsafe. It's just a random university. So a group of people did that. And they have 15 minutes to focus on everything that was positive in their lives. Guess what? 12 till 16% more happiness came out of the experiment. So people that practice that, just 15 minutes of your time, if I have a preach in 15 minutes a day, I can make you 12 to 60% happier. I think I'm a very popular preacher because with 15%, I can increase your happiness in life. And this is just done by an experiment of a university with unsafe people. Can you believe it when you practice this with the Holy Spirit? Can you believe it when you're going to do it with the focus of Jesus that have forgiven your sins? Can you believe it when you look at eternal life because you know that the Holy Spirit gives us new focus and new life and that we don't have to focus on this life anymore. We're going to look to eternity. How much hope and joy and happiness will come after that? The Holy Spirit is the one that is coming and is showing us a new focus. He's always focusing not to your life, but he's always pointing to Jesus. Romans 8, 23 to 26 says it very beautiful. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen as no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Which perspective are you living from? Is your perspective your trouble, or is your perspective your hope? Are you living from gratitude, or are you living from ingratitude? Are we able to look over our misery situation by the Holy Spirit, or are we looking to it as a mountain we can't climb? The Bible doesn't make exceptions when there is rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks to God in all circumstances. Do everything without grumbling or complaining. And often it's a choice. We have to make a choice. What are we going to do in the circumstances? What is our focus? The Bible says, submit yourself to God and the devil will flee from you. So it's always, we have to take a step. Submit yourself to God and the devil will. It's actually cause and effect. It's a choice. The joy of the Lord is a choice. And it's focusing on the right circumstances. It's actually what, if you have difficult situation, ask yourself, what is the problem? And in my situation, it's always I'm focused on myself. But when I start with the Holy Spirit, focusing myself on Jesus, I can rejoice in all circumstances. But not from myself. I need to have the Spirit. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ. So it's just a matter, and I don't want to say it too easy, but it's actually a matter of chasing your focus. Set your focus on Jesus. And I want to end with a very powerful example, and it's a true story, happened in the Second World War in a concentration camp called Auschwitz. There was a man, his name was Maximilian Kolbe. I know maybe some guys know this story, but Maximilian Kolbe, he was in the camp of Auschwitz, and in that camp there was a rule that when one person escaped the concentration camp of Auschwitz, 10 names of men were called out and they put them in a cave to starve to death, to discourage people to try to escape from the camp. And on a day, a man escaped from that camp and the commander of the camp came with all the men on the square in the middle of the camp and he started mentioning the names. And one of the names of the man was Franz Gajonicek, a father of 2 children. And his goal was to survive the camp of Auschwitz for his family. So he was listening to the names, first name, second name, third name. And at the last name, Franz Gajonicek, he fell on the ground, started crying, and then a man came up front and he said to the commander, my name is Maximilian Kolbe. He is a man, a young man, and he has 2 children. I'm an old man, and actually he was only 6 years older, and he said, take me. Maximilian Kolbe was known in the camp as a Christian, a man that if he got food and he saw somebody had need more, he gave it away. If somebody was cold, he gave his blankets away. And now he came up front and he said to the commander, take me because that man have a family and I don't have children. So the 10 men were put on a cave. Daily, Maximilian Kolbe was worshiping the Lord day and night. Till 14 days, 7 of the 10 men died, and after 14 days, they give him a deadly injection, and Maximilian Kolbe died on the 14th of August, 1941. 2 months in June 1944, 1941, he wrote a letter to his mother. And listen what he wrote to his mother. "Dear mother, I'm in the camp of Auschwitz. Everything is well with me. Don't worry about my health, for the Lord God provides me with everything with love." A man in the most difficult situations you can imagine in a concentration camp said to his mother, "God provides me with everything with love." In Auschwitz, how can he say that in that circumstances? He knew that everything he had was grace, and that he had no rights from himself. He was died from himself like Jesus. Maximilian Kolbe went as the only person in Auschwitz that was able to give his life to another person. Franz Kajunesik, the other man, survived the camp, was reunited with his family, and he put a stone in his garden. And every day he walked along that stone and he saw the name of Maximilian Kolbe on that stone. He said, "Every breath I take is because of Maximilian Kolbe. Everything I do, everything moment of the day is like a gift to me because of what Maximilian Kolbe has done for me." And this may also be our starting point. We deserved the death penalty of our sin. And everything we do is because of what Jesus had done for us. That's the foundation what we're living from. And everything he added, like health, wealth, clothes, job, salary, it's grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And what he asks from us is a life overflowing from thankfulness. What he asks from us is that we have our focus right, that we have our focus on what, like Franz Kajunasik had, that every day he walked behind that stone, every day we walk behind that cross, we think it's about every breath I take, it's about what Jesus has done for us. And if I come back now to the scripture in Philippians 2, it's different. Again, the scripture is the same. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. If we stop with grumbling and complaining, and we're going to learn to find our needs at Jesus' feet and not with one another, we will gonna change. We will be people of gratitude, overflowing with gratitude in all circumstances. And the question is, how are we going to do that? And I want to challenge you, start every morning with reading Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. I've done it, I think, for a year. Every day I start with focusing my life, my new day, on this scripture. And I'm going to read it with you as we close. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Jesus is our big example. Let focus us every day on Jesus so that we can live a life of gratitude. The Holy Spirit is the one that is poured out in our hearts with the love of God and giving us a new perspective. His desire that we are shining stars amongst this evil world. This world is dark. This world is chasing after their tails, running after more, more, and never enough. And the only thing to escape is to focus at the cross as the Franz Kajunesik from Auschwitz did. He knew that every day he had was grace. And I think we know as well. But now the challenge is, are we able to live out it from in every circumstances? Can I challenge you with that? To be people that shines in this world like stars.